Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Hallelujah, on a tremendous Thursday. We're going to have a good day. We're going to get you jump started and us too.
Amen.
The Do Not Fear, hallelujah, scripture of the day here on the 17th day of August is Psalm 118:6. Psalm 118:6, we need to sink. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Hallelujah.
He says that a lot. Do not be afraid of people.
That's it.
Just have reverence for God.
On today's program, we're going to discuss, don't say that. Don't say that. You know, as I read a letter, one precious lady, God stirred me to teach about part of what she wrote on her prayer request reply. She quoted part of the verse found in Acts 3:6. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. The lady wanted me to pray to have a financial harvest, even though she wasn't sowing a seed. She quoted part of the scriptures of justification. It's one that preachers who don't believe in prosperity use to spiritualize their beliefs. We want to share with you 8 things that we know with absolute certainty. 1, we know that people are hurting because there's an economic famine in the land. 2, we know that everything reproduces after its own kind, as it says in Genesis 1:12.
That's right.
3, we know that we pray for as many people who don't give to the debt for army as we do those who sow their precious seeds into this ministry. 4, we know this sweet lady thinks prayer is all she can sow at this time. 5, I know this dear saint doesn't understand the spiritual implications of saying, this is all I have, or she'd never be saying it. 6, I know that the way too many believers are looking at what they don't have instead of what they do have. 7, I know that while prayer is powerful and desirable, it will not produce a harvest. Reaping without a seed being sown is not possible because it violates God's principles of sowing and reaping. And 8, this lady, and sadly too many other folks, don't really understand the fullness of Acts 3:6 and what it's saying. The verse says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. We want to focus on the word have, which is a Greek word G2192, and according to Strong's Concordance, is to find as to have, to hold, to have, own, possess, external things such as to property or riches, furniture or utensils, or goods or food.
You know, what Peter was talking about was what he had at the moment. He was discussing what he had available to him at the time when he's walking by the man in need, because he knew, he was confident that God was about to do something supernatural for this man. It was beyond material need. Peter also knew that this man was looking for something to put food on his table, but he gave him so much more.
Yes, he did.
Acts 3:5 says, and he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive something of them. This man was clearly looking for something that he would need to just satisfy him that day, to give him some daily bread. Instead, Peter was not only teaching this man a spiritual truth, he was opening his eyes to something he'd never seen before. When we look to people to meet the needs for the day, that's all we're going to get, the need for the day. There are way too many believers who are living from day to day because they're looking for the natural resources to meet their needs. What Peter gave this man was the miracle-working power of God.
Yes.
This was a defining moment in this man's life. He was about to change his old way of thinking, his old way of doing things, his tradition of begging for food from day to day forever. Each of us needs a defining moment in our lives. And we will get it when we stop living day to day and begin moving in God's miracle-working power.
Glory.
Where there is never a question as to whether or not our needs will be met. Now, I'm sure that the amount of money this lame man received each day could, well, be affected by circumstances, maybe what was going on in the economy, maybe the weather, and how quickly people ran into the synagogue when they were running late. This man was totally dependent upon the generosity of people who wanted to bless through their obedience and wanted to just be a blessing to somebody and they happened to be going in the temple. You know, he was blessed by their seed time and harvest. It wasn't his seed time and harvest, it was their seed time and harvest. The reality is that he should have already been dependent upon Jehovah Jireh, the provider, anyway. The implication of many well-meaning folks is that Peter had nothing to give because he was broke. I don't spend a lot of time just analyzing this, but I would think that Peter was anything but broke. Peter just, he relied on Jesus in all things. And in a time when few people owned their own businesses, Peter had been a fisherman. He owned a boat. He had his own crew. Not only that, the scripture reveals that his family actually had servants. So does that really sound broke to you? Don't exactly think so. Peter was simply trying to help this man look beyond the current level of his expectation. And there are two scriptures that came to our mind. First, Psalm 5:3 in the New Living Translation. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. And the second scripture is in Psalm 62:5. 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Peter wasn't broke. He was seeking to raise the man's level of expectation so that he could experience miracle-working, life-changing, bondage-breaking, yoke-destroying power of God. When we're looking to individuals to meet our needs, we will never see that God is waiting for us to move out in faith. Before concluding the teaching, though, there is really, well, one other really important spiritual principle we need to discuss and understand. We run into and are amazed and sometimes saddened by the number of people who want us to pray for them to have a financial breakthrough without sowing a seed. If you followed this ministry, and I know the people who listen to our call have for the most part followed us for years, you'll know that God, that the teaching that we put forth all the time is that God put forth a principle that is so common that we take it for granted. It's a principle of seed time and harvest. You may go by your fields on the way to work. It's as simple as the examples that you experience going to work every day. If you don't sow, you won't reap. We go by fields of soybeans. We go by fields of corn. And the point of it is if somebody didn't put that seed in the ground, I promise you there was not going to be a corn stalk out there. Because you don't sow, I mean, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. You know, the last sentence in the Classic Amplified Translation of Galatians 6:7 says, for whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. What are we saying here? The point is if you don't sow, you're going to reap. Let's put it this way. Change it. You're going to reap what it is that you sow. If you sow a corn seed, you're going to reap a corn harvest. If you're going to sow a soybean seed, you're going to reap a soybean harvest. If you sow money, you're going to reap money. And you could really personalize that truth, couldn't you, babe?
Yes, you could.
You could say,
for whatever Maya sows, that and that only is what she will reap.
Yes.
For whatever Ralph sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Whatever Sonia sows, that and that only is what she will reap. And we can go on.
That's it.
See, principle number one, if you sow, you reap. If you don't sow, you won't reap. Principle two, your words will empower or eliminate the enemy's ability to wreak havoc in your financial life.
That's it.
The enemy is powerless to impact our lives until we give him that power. It's done by how we communicate our current financial situation with the words we speak or the things that we confirm in writing. Make no mistake about it. The enemy wants us living in fear over the appearance of lack in financial situation. If the enemy can transfer fear into your mind, he immediately has the ability to take advantage of you. The enemy can get you to believe that you have nothing to give. He has the ability to take advantage of you. If the enemy can get you confessing lack in your life, he has the ability to take advantage of you. If we sow words that indicate a lack of faith in God's provision or over his ability in our current situation, then we're going to live a life of financial shortage, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. If we say, this is all we have, then we're effectively negating the promises of God. We're consciously or unconsciously limiting the power of God to bring financial deliverance in our lives and giving up our right to a financial last will and testament
that Jesus provided for us. You know, God wants us to get our focus on him and his ability to create supernatural manifestation in our lives and get it off the rearview mirror. It's time for each of us to raise our level of expectation, because God is wanting to bless.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's important. Scripture says when you get up in the morning, you lay before God what you're expecting.
Yes, a great, incredible. That's what we do every day for. That's what we want to do every day for you, is to give you an expectation that this day is going to be a supernatural blessing, because you know what? You've never lived it before. It's going to be new. He's going to do a new thing. Hallelujah.
Today and over the next couple of days.
Yes.
We're going to mail you a letter.
Yes, we are.
And in that letter, on the outside, says we want to pray for you on Labor Day.
That's it.
Now, we've been praying on Labor Day for, this will be the 29th year.
29th year.
I know. We've had amazing miracles.
Yes, we have.
Not just only financial, but other miracles as well.
That's it.
We're going to send you this letter. And I want to tell you, when you read the letter, the first thing you're going to read is a scripture that'll knock your socks off.
Mm-mm.
It really is. That's why I felt how I felt. I didn't know how you felt when we read it.
Hallelujah.
And so we praise you for that, Lord.
So get your expectation up.
That's exactly right.
Changing.
Respond as soon as you get this letter in the mail. And you'll be blessed.
Yes, you will.
And we're going to be praying for you.
That's right.
So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.